In these turbulent financial times, securing your investments with gold and silver needs to be done today, before the next crash. Go to republicmonetary.com for our free information kit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day from Freedom's, with an S, freedomsphoenix.com studios in BEA, beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. And I asked Stephen Lemon to stay on from the end of his show, and he's been so kind to do so, because I have a lot of questions for him. You know, we get a lot out of his participation on Freedom's Phoenix, and well-researched and in-depth articles and so on, of which I'm... The only difference between you and me, Stephen, is that, yeah, that's all very interesting, good information. You still think we can fix the government? Can we just do without it, man? I mean, you know, the heck with it. But the one thing that I wanted to ask you, because I know you're paying attention to this more, and I thought, I don't even know if you know, the news just broke that Iranian forces are took over some Iraq oil wells on disputed border there. And I'm wondering if you know anything about this disputed land between Iran and Iraq. Is that on your radar screen? I got you there, Stephen?
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear the question?
Oh, I sure did hear the question. I saw a quick bulletin about it, but I honestly don't know anything about it. And let's put it this way. Let's be very suspicious until we really get some more information, because you know Washington for many years has a habit of literally blasting Iran, making all kinds of charges, have no idea what's true, what's not true. The fact that it's Iran, we beat up on the Iranian government all the time, have done it for several decades. So let's find out. Let's get some real information from sources that we can rely on, and then we can judge what the heck is going on.
Amen, brother. You know, because I saw this happen before. We saw this happen with the first Gulf War, where they had the United States State Department in there telling stuff. Yeah, we don't care what's going on with y'all in and Kuwait. Yeah, it's disputed. Take it. Yeah, it's not our problem, man. It's internal provincial kind of providence. A province thing of, you know, don't worry about it. Boom. Here we got the first Gulf War. And it was all based on the same kind of thing. And it doesn't pass the smell test yet. So we'll see what happens there. You know, another thing I was hoping I was going to call you off air, but since I got you, I might as well just, you know, bring this up. There is starting to flow over onto Freedom's Phoenix this dispute with the other competing network, you know, on Alex Jones, I will just say it, you know, that there's some kind of dispute on this Zionism versus anti-Semitite, you know, kind of people going in there. Do you have any idea what's going on, what the argument is?
I know Zionists. I write a lot about Zionism.
Yes, you do, and that's why I wanted to talk to you about it.
Oh, absolutely. Zionism. I wrote one article that I titled Jews Against Zionism, including Orthodox Jews that absolutely condemn Zionism. They just call it a non... They're not even Jews in their mind.
You know, my audience is a little bit... We're coming up on the break. Can you stay over?
Oh, sure.
Let's go ahead and do that, because my audience is a little bit different. This is new information to a lot of them, and I want to. Let's go ahead and get this out, because I have my own opinion, but I'd like to get yours. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear.
Ernest Hancock and Stephen Lidman in on RBN Network together. You know, thanks for spending some Christmas with me. And I wanted to make sure that, we got to pop back. Is there something on my end I can do with that? The one thing that I wanted to make sure that we got addressed right now, because it's starting to seep over onto freedomsphoenix.com. And I want to, and you heard the promo for the commercial for Freedoms Phoenix. You get the idea. Stephen has been writing for Freedoms Phoenix for years. And it's, and Stephen, what's your flavor of Freedoms Phoenix? How is it used by you? What is the kind of, if you were to describe Freedoms Phoenix, yeah, I write for Freedoms Phoenix. It's a what?
Well, I'll give you a good commercial, Ernie. I go through Freedom Phoenix every day. You come out with two editions a day. I go through each of them because you cover such a broad array of topics. You give me ideas of things that I say, aha, I need to write something about that. So you're a very valuable resource for me, and you post articles you cover different perspectives. Some I agree with, some I don't. But you put up good information that is very important for me to clue me to go in certain directions, and then choose topics and maybe some material in one of the articles that you post can help me in putting together an article that I'll say I've just got to write about this. So Freedom Phoenix is a very important resource for me. I don't go through so many websites daily, but yours is one of them.
And I appreciate that, and that's kind of what we wanted it to be, is that it provokes thought, that there's more nuance to this news cycle than what they would have you believe by some bullet point they give all the networks, because you're flip. I'll tell you what the lead story is. Whatever Drudge says it is, it's got they plug into the matrix. You know, they want to get something out. You know, and those that won't leave us alone, and they need to drive whatever the next 24-hour news cycle is, whether it's Tiger Woods, Britney Spears' new belly button ring, or whatever. Or they'll put the it's not about news isn't about what you print, it's about what you don't print. And I really started to realize that. So I created it to be a wide perspective, not to promote any one over another. It's to provide it for people to be able just to know how big the playing field really is. And what's happening, and I enjoy your participation. You got a big fan with Jet Lacy, the board op, my guest host here, man. He's global research guy all over, man. That's where he spends a lot of his time reading all your stuff. I'm going, dang, those really, 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 really long articles you read, all those.
I get carried away with myself.
You got to put it all in there. It's got to be archived somewhere. Now, this is where we're leading up to. In 2010, we've been working behind the scenes. You haven't seen a lot of big changes on Freedom. So you've seen it evolve over the years. It's changed quite a bit as we add more and more features and stuff. We're adding a lot more because we need to include kind of a different page and interface for the radio, and then the video studio we're going to start using a lot more, and then a lot of the activists, and you can have your own special edition that you can create your own page. You look at the top on the navigation bar, it says special editions. You'll see like mirror versions of Freedom's Phoenix, but it's run by somebody totally different, their own database, their own editors, and so on. That's starting to become popular, and we're getting through the beta test on that. But the thing is that I can see – I wanted you to address this. You've been around long enough to know this, and I want to have this discussion with you, and we'll go as long as I can keep you and make sure I get this fleshed out. There has always been – from the time that I first started doing email and being on email list in early 94, So this has been like 15 years for me. I've been doing this, and I have seen a constant drumbeat of this one thing. What has happened, there is a battle between, I'm not even sure who it's between, but it always revolves around Israel, okay? What has happened is whenever anybody creates a popular enough or large enough market or a large enough audience for there to be an infiltration into, you know, we got to get, they all have to know what we know, but it's not just that. They all have to agree with us. They have to join the fight. There is going to be, you know, death, mayhem, destruction, and whatever, and they have to join our cause, fill in the blank. Well, that happens when we do a lot of libertarian lists. What happens is we're discussing, you know, highbrow principle, you know, what everything is supposed to, it gets popular, people learn a lot, it comes in, then boom. There's that one, two, three guys that will come in and try and divert the entire attention over to, you know, get the Zionist thing. And it just destroys it. So you maintain some kind of control to where I haven't really had to exercise it too much. I mean, I can count on my 10 fingers how many times I've actually deleted something or haven't posted it forward or taken a forum discussion off. It's just, you know, somebody spamming you, just throwing it out there. But I allow serious discussion. Well, the discussion is starting to go, and it starts over on InfoWars, you know, and it kind of goes out through the internet and, you know, ouch, quit it, back and forth. They create this debate in order to have it. And I feel it's going to come over because we have our forum that's starting to be popular. We haven't been promoting it a lot. We're getting the bugs worked out, a lot of different things, because you have nice features like you get emails that your response was responded to and that kind of stuff, kind of like YouTube has. So we're doing a lot of creative stuff behind the scenes. But I know what's going to happen. It has always happened. And I want to prepare my audience and my readers for something that inevitable. We knew this from the beginning, from experience on the internet. I control everything on my site whenever I want to. The only thing that you benefit from is that I'm lazy and I don't want to. But I tell you, if you're a distraction, if you get to the point to where you are impeding other people's access to information by just over, boom, done, gone, push a button. So I want to get this out now so that we can understand what the issue is. Stephen, when we come back, we got like 2 minutes now. I'll let you go ahead and give it a start. But when we come back and then we have a long 18-minute segment after the bottom of the hour. Can you stay after the
sure. Okay. Sure, I'll be happy to stay, Ernie.
Because what I want from your, because I know a lot of your writings involved Palestine, Israel, Middle East, this kind of, you know, this theater that they create to excuse, I don't know, how many billions of dollars that they can take from us and redistribute to their buddies over in Israel and everywhere else. I'm like, can we just not give it to anybody? Can I keep all my money? That'd be good. So I want you to explain to me, what the heck is the issue? What is it? We have different entities. We have this Zionist philosophy of, I don't know, we're going to take everybody's stuff and go do what we want to do kind of thing, or manifest destiny of, you know, biblical borders or something. I don't even know what it is, and you can explain that. We have actual politic Israel that's using our State Department money to buy more congressmen to get more money. That's another thing. You have the geopolitical, we rule the world kind of banking connection, whatever the heck, and so on. All these problems, in my opinion, are solved by, I keep my own money, we keep our nose out of everybody else's business. The fact that Israel has become the 51st state or something, I'd like to know how that's perceived, where that comes from, how that's lobbied and such. So you can see, just as an education to have in our archive, to have as an opportunity for us to reference someone that has some experience in this, on this issue, that I want to have in my archive this Zionist discussion. Let's get it done. Because I'm criticized a lot because I don't take it on. It's not a big issue. Because to me, I want to be left alone. And if this issue, they're not leaving me alone, then they're bad guys. I don't care which side you're on. Are you forcing me? Are you taking money from me? Are you going to make me do something? Then bad guy. Yeah, but they're worse and bad, and we got to go, yeah, whatever. You know, you're the one in my face now. You're a bad guy. So I need to have this. Okay, I framed this. We're going up on the break here. Have I framed it in such a way that when we come back, man, you can just hit it running?
Oh, yeah, I think I can do it. I think you know from my articles, Ernie, I concentrate very hard, not just on picking topics I think are important, but getting facts out. And if they're disturbing, well, that doesn't matter. I want the truth. Sometimes the truth can be the most disturbing thing of all. The one thing that I just fight all the time is any notion of suppressing this kind of vital information.
Okay, well, we're not going to suppress. Now, today we're unsuppressive, okay? I made up a new Bush word. Anyway, we'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock and Stephen Libman from Global Research. We'll be right back.
From the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
but
away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my
ice.
My mother will start to
beautiful,
worry.
What's your
and father heart? Will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
well,
hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink.
Put
more.
Some records on while I
the
pour.
The neighbors might
baby, it's bad out there.
So yeah, Dean Martin doing it up. You know, I remember as a kid, Stephen, this probably, you know, it was back in your day. These, you know, that was risque, man. He's having a girl, you know, kind of seducing her to stay over when it's snowing outside.
Well, I remember that song and a whole lot. I remember when Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer first came out in the late 1940s.
Oh, man. You know what?
And the guy who made the recording was Gene Autry, of all people.
You know what I remember? I remember when Silent Night was legal. Come All Ye Faithful was legal. The First Noel was legal.
Oh, well, maybe it's cold outside. It sounds like a song about Chicago. Well, today it's not too bad. It's about 35 degrees. About 4 or 5 days ago, we got down, at least in the early morning, down to 5 degrees. And one day it was 1 degree. So Arizona, here I come.
Yeah, no, it's really nice. You know, that brings up one we had as a top story yesterday. There's a guy, I don't you may have at least heard of him. His name is Mikey Weinstein, and he was a Air Force Academy graduate, and he started Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Does that ring a bell?
I don't know very much about that.
It was a big thing in, I think it was like 04, 05 we started having him on. And his son went to the academy, and I think he had a daughter-in-law from another son that went there, something like that. He had a lot of family. And his father was in military, long lineage of military service, and they go to the Air Force Academy, and it really got infiltrated heavily by the Christians from the Bush administration that you're angels of God, and we're going to go bomb the Middle East in the holy name of and jihad and kill the Muslims. And it really bothered him, and he created this organization, and they just started, you know, it's ABC and Associated Press, and they're starting to kind of, you know, yeah, things are getting better after the lawsuits filed by, and something because he was Weinstein, he was Jewish. So you can, they were, you know, oh, it was when the Passion of the Christ first came out. And when the Passion of the Christ came out, they're like, you know, get the Jews, get the Jews, get the Jews. And they're like, wow, man, is this the U.S. military? We're defending which rights? I mean, what the heck's going on here? So it was an interesting discussion at the time because you followed it in the discovery in the lawsuit. It depicted how the military was seated with high-level officials and generals and admirals and on and on and on that were disposed to have a holy war. Now, the apocalypse be a-coming, and gosh darn it, we need to write guys with a cross on their lapel holding the football with the button. So I'm going, there is you want to know how this stuff happens in other countries? Well, we got a roadmap right here. You know, this is how it does it. So I'm going, okay. There's a concern here. So I want you to go ahead and certainly in the next segment, we got a long segment here, to start explaining, give me the definition of Zionism, anti-Semitic. So I've had the vice president of the Zionist of America on my show a couple of times and having this discussion. All right, first, before we even get started, you got to explain this thing to me because I have no idea what you're talking about. So I want to get your perspective.
Well, Zionism, I'm Jewish. And there are people in my family who aren't too happy about me as to what I write. Not all of them. I think some of them may have come around a little bit. But at least two old boyhood friends, very intelligent guys, think I am absolutely off base. And one of them, who I would say was probably my closest boyhood friend, both of these individuals, by the way, are doctors, so they're not dummies. And this one individual absolutely came down on me with a hammer. He discovered, he read some of what I was writing about the Gaza war back in late December, early January, that went on for about 3 weeks. And he was absolutely incensed at the things that I was saying. But it really comes down to Zionism and what it really is. It is not a benign ideology. It is very extremist. It fosters violence. Zionism was to have a homeland for the Jews, came about the end of the 19th century. And the original idea was that it could have been anywhere. It didn't have to be in the Middle East. Didn't have to be in the ancient Palestine. These were mostly Eastern European Jews. The ideal place for it would have been someplace in Eastern Europe. I mean, who the devil wants to move from your home in Eastern Europe to the desert and literally a wasteland where they wanted to settle on the desert and literally build stuff up from the ground? But they settled on ancient Palestine, and there was only one problem. There were people living there. Well, we can't go into the long history, and I'm not an expert on the history, but the British absolutely were complicit in this after World War I, even before the Balfour Declaration in 1917, before the war ended in 1918. They basically came up with this declaration that ceded a piece of this territory to Jewish people.
Well, let's go ahead. We're going to hit the break. When we come back, I have my own research. Give me enough perspective that I'll share, but... Man, it all comes down to, am I allowed to not care? Well, we'll find out if I could not care when we come back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Christmas. It's like Big Brother saying, I don't want to ever hear that music again in V for Vendetta. And you get a little extra bonus there, Stephen, if you recognize who that voice that is.
Well, you know, I honestly don't. Who was that?
That was Wayne Newton when he was a little bitty baby boy.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I certainly remember Wayne Newton. He's getting to be an old man now, I guess.
And he's still performing. I think I was in Vegas not too long ago, and they had a thing, said, I don't know, last show or something like that, his series, you know, he's like, yeah, if you want to see Wayne Newton, you better hurry up and get here and pay the extra bucks because I can't keep doing this. You know, they don't like walkers on the stage. what I wanted to do is to have let me go ahead and ask some questions and I can get it along where I want to go and what I want to know. Correct me if I'm wrong. I got the impression from reading history on Zionism is that Zionism was kind of like a progressive movement or an anti-war little group, or it was a a truther thing or a birther thing or what. It was a little political thing, and it had support. And of course, when you're dealing with, you know, an opportunity to create your own country kind of stuff, you got some big bad boys back there that got some money. All right, they're looking at a generational thing. We got a long-term plan. I got the impression that the Zionist movement was a movement because there was somebody willing to be in the front pushing it, and there was somebody or something behind it willing to fund him doing it. Okay? And when you put those two together, you will have an entity that just keeps snowballing into what. And if you can whip up religious fervor, if you can get support from a group of people, if you can get some, I don't know, rabbis or preachers, or heck, here in America, you got Christian pastors that are pushing this stuff. So you have this movement that you're creating, you're doing, and it becomes a thing. Then you have whatever, whether it was orchestrated or not, is not even the point. You have opportunities for them to institute this philosophy in the form of, we're taking this country. And might as well be this one. It's good as any. And we got some kind of an old deed that we have called the Bible. And it says, and gosh darn it, God says. Okay. So they create this. Then you have... It has the United Nations and the sympathy of what happened to Jewish communities during World War II and persecution they went through and on and on and on. Then you have an entity that's recognized by other countries, United Nations. America is a big part of this. Then you have subsidies that go into them. Money is being fed into them. Now, the British Empire, when they left Palestine, they kind of... You know, they left the Palestinians to their own. Hey, man, you know, we're out of here and y'all work it out. And boom, they're gone. And got a lot of history from, as a young man, I read a book, The Source, by James Michener. And it was interesting, that perspective on, you know, how things from a local point of view, how these things happen. So I kind of get a rough idea what was going on. The thing is that I see... as the root cause of all these types of problems has been the collectivization of political and military power. And when you do that, people can go in and control that, even if it's another country. I give you a bunch of money, subsidized, gets fed into all of these dictators and potentates and all these monarchs and these sheiks and whatever around the world. And then they will use that to, it doesn't go to the people, it goes to them to control the people. And Israel has been very good at also knowing that they need to keep the money flowing. So with AIPAC and other organizations like that, they make sure that the United States Congress is willing to keep giving them lots and lots of money. If for no other reason, I think that the benefit of having Israel is just an excuse to get a crap load of money from American taxpayers. So when I have people on my show over the years, I've done this before, and I'll bring in the Zionist guys, man, you know, let's do it up. And they will make the argument that, yeah, it's a bad idea. It's bad foreign policy for the United States and for the U.S. taxpayers to send money to these Arab nations or have business dealings with them or doing all this. We need to boycott them like we do Iraq and Iran. We need to shun them. We need to, you know, invade them. We need to, you know, all this. They can't have nuclear power or nuclear weapons. They can't. And we get to dictate. Of course, we can, but they can't. So I'm going, you know, from my perspective, every time I talk to these people, we think that it is principally wrong to take tax money from American people and send it to these people, but it's okay to give it to us, being Israel. So I'm going, where is the, am I allowed not to be stolen from to send out anywhere? Heck, I don't even like it going to Washington at all, much less get sent overseas. So I, to make that comment gets you labeled. They will say you're anti-Semitic. Okay, define that. I had Heidi Byrick from the Southern Poverty Law Center has been on this show twice. And I'm going, you know, Heidi, first time I had her on, I go, look, I just need to understand this. If I advocate cutting off the money flow to Israel, done, none, including everybody else, you know, I don't care, but none, does that make me anti-Semitic? And she's like, well, we wouldn't know. We don't get into the, yeah, who are we kidding? Okay. Then the ADL and them, they're all linked up and they target where they need to put this kind of pressure on people so that they continue to get their funding. I am, you know, Ron Paul made a very good point about this. We need to get out of the way of it. And he put it in the framework that if the United States would just get out of the way, not they have to seek our permission. We got to help. We don't get involved in their disputes. Let Israel deal with it on their own. They're not a child. Let them take care of it on their own. And he puts it that way. It kind of throws it on them that, you know, they need to just grow up when really what's happening, and I think they're way too controlling of Congress. So with this perspective, I need you to tell me where I'm off, where I'm wrong, what, you know, there's something else that I need to know.
Well, I think you've got a lot of things right, Ernie. We use each other. Israel uses us in the West. The U.S., the U.K., the Western nations use Israel. And I think it's I think Richard Nixon came up with an expression during his time in office referring to countries like Israel and Turkey and Iran back then under the Shah. He referred to them as our cops on the beat. We keep these countries armed. We keep them strong allies. And they're the people guarding this great treasure that the Middle East has, all that oil and all that gas, the most oil and gas rich part of the world. So Israel, of course, Iran is now in the other camp. That's a separate story. Turkey is still one of our cops on the beat. Israel is a cop on the beat. As long as we control Iraq, well, that's a cop on the beat because we're the cop. We're there. So we use each other. And it was that way when the Brits had the idea to decide back in 1917 that they wanted a Western presence in this part of the world. And oil had been discovered. Nobody knew how much back then.
Okay, now you're going off in, you know, the terminology. I just want to make sure that we understand each other. We're using the right same words and same definitions. We are the cop on the beat for us. We wanted we who, man? I don't care.
There's a pecking order, Ernie. The U.S. is at the head of the pecking order, but the Western countries, Western Europe.
Okay, which means what? I mean,
we want to control that oil and gas.
We who?
Well, the big oil companies.
The
big U.S. oil companies, the big European oil companies. It's not a matter of owning the stuff so much. It's the right to drill for it, to control what comes out of the ground, to decide what price will be charged, to decide who will get it, how much, who will not get it.
No, I'm with you, brother. I understand. My thing is that when they say we, don't go lumping me in with this imperialist going out, we rule you because we can, got a bigger gun, and oh, by the way, we're going to debt your children doing it kind of thing. I just, you know, we, and I'm going, I don't see the we, even being a country, as much as the we being how many guns and planes and tanks they can get from each country because they control all of them. You know, so when they go, we have United Nations or NATO peacekeeping force, or we got, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, they'll get the coalition of the willing, you know, Palau. I mean, you know, here we go, you know, send our, you know, three guys or something. And the thing is it's just it's a game that they're playing, and it's all based on the philosophy that you can order these kinds of things in the name of the American people, and somehow we as individuals, Ernest Hancock, me and my children, my grandchildren, are engaged in this war. Your country's at war. You are in this. You got to pick a side. You are on. I'm like, look, man, I never signed on this kind of, you know, you're taking my money by duress. You know, you're doing it by force. You're threatening me. You're taking, don't even think you're doing this in my name. So that's one reason why I allow everybody to have their say so that I can feel comfortable about getting mine. And let me tell you what mine is. I'm not represented by these guys. They get all worked up about the birth certificate for Obama, and I'm going, heck, I don't care if he was born in Chicago. You know, it doesn't make any difference to me. He does not rule me. He does not represent me. It represents this collective, this government thing that is the only thing. No Al-Qaeda, no the Jewish conspiracy, De La Media, they're not the ones that are doing it. It's the U.S. freaking government that's the ones that's stopping me at the checkpoints. They are the ones that's stealing my money. They are the ones that are regulating commerce. They are the ones, you see my point?
I agree with you. I agree with you. The problem is the government. Now, we may want a different kind of government. You and I may disagree on that. But you started at the top of the program talking about the state of the government, and you suggested that, you know, what should we do? Should we close it down and start over again? I think the government is so corrupted, it is beyond fixing. There is no way to fix this government. We literally have to do what Jefferson had in mind. And if it was good enough for Jefferson, it should be good enough for all of us. He thought every 25 years things change so much, we literally need to have a revolution. He didn't mean blood in the streets. We need to go back and absolutely redesign everything because the system has changed. He wasn't even thinking about the kind of corrupted system we have now where the politicians don't represent us. They're a bunch of criminals. I refer to the government of Washington, Ernie, not as a government, but a crime syndicate linked to the crime syndicate in Wall Street.
Okay, this is where we differ a little bit. You know, you think that this particular government has gone bad, and my contention is they all go this way.
Oh, they
always have.
Way. Oh, they all go away. I agree. They all go that way, but it gets worse and worse all the time. And Benjamin Franklin sounded the alarm back during the time of the founding of the country, where supposedly somebody asked him, "We have a republic, can we keep it?" And what did he think about it? I think his line was, the line that's been quoted is something like, "Yes, we have a republic if we can keep it." But what was not quoted was follow-up comments where he basically said, you start off with a grand idea and you kick it off on the right foot. And over time, the special interests take over and the corruption seeps in and the whole thing comes apart.
Always.
Which is what we're seeing right now.
Always.
When all governments get too powerful, get too corrupted. So it's everything for them. And the way they get that is by taking it from us. It's a dirty, rotten game.
Always.
And this is what's going on now. So you and I are absolutely in the same camp.
Well, I don't want to restart it. I don't want to, you know, let's redo it. Wow, how'd that work out?
We need to redo it. And Israel.
No,
and the US
can we replace it? We had the discussion at the Freedom Summit, the Friday night pre-summit debate. We had a sitting judge. We had law professors, Thomas Woods, economist. Joe Skousen was up there. We had all, and this was the discussion. No, I don't think Joe was there. He's in another one next day. But we had this discussion: should we replace the United States Constitution with nothing? And that, you got sitting judges up there. They got to be careful on that one. So the thing is that I wanted that discussion. It's like, are we better? We're going to do this again. What's going to happen again? They're going to have bad guys. Pardon me?
We need to completely rewrite the Constitution. For whatever good it did when it came out, it's very imperfect, even from the start, but it's obsolete. We completely need to rewrite it. I once compared our Constitution to Venezuela's, night and day, in terms of what it says in black and white, and ours doesn't say at all. In terms of, I mean, a government should represent the people. We can argue in what ways, but the government should represent all the people. The Constitution was not written that way. It should be in black and white, in simple English, so everybody understands it. There's as few ambiguities as possible. Our Constitution was not designed that way. It was designed for the same purpose that we're governed today, to benefit the elitists,
absolutely,
not the common people.
Absolutely.
That's what
regulate commerce, eminent domain, to tax you, and the Bill of Rights was a compromise they were trying to make with the libertarians of the day, the anti-federalists, and where the Bill of Rights preamble, it says Congress shall make no law restricting. You know, they should have just stopped right there.
Well, the Bill of Rights was to give rights to them, not to the people. Because, you know, I mean, these elitists, they didn't want anybody searching in their homes and seizing stuff. So they wanted to protect themselves. They didn't want anybody telling them what they could say and not say. But they sure didn't give a damn about the ordinary people. Only about 15% of the people in the country at that time had the right to vote.
See, my thing is even bad guys get the right to not be, especially bad guys. Because if you don't do it with the bad guys, you sure as heck, you know, can count on it kind of eking in on you also. So I'm a Bill of Rights supporter. I understand the history behind it and so on. But this clamoring for a redo of what screwed us is uninformed. And that's why I'm a big Declaration of Independence kind of guy. You know, we got callers are starting to line up. You know,
we never did talk about Zionism, did we?
We're going to get to it. Can you stay over? You got something else you got to do?
Oh, at the top of the hour, I got to go, honestly.
Oh, dang it.
But I'd be happy to come back another time.
Yeah. Well, I know. I appreciate you just staying on. Will you stay on till the next segment?
Maybe
we'll get to it. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit with Stephen Lemon and Ernest Hancock.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Mm-hmm. mistletoe and tinsel glow, paint a yuletide valentine. Back home I go, those I know, for a Christmas auld lang syne.
Hey, I get to share a little Christmas here with Stephen Lipman from Global Research, a show before Declare Your Independence here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and I'm glad I get to do it. Now, yeah, he's Jewish, but so what? We can be friends anyway. And that's one thing, Stephen, that I want to emphasize is that, you know, from a libertarian perspective, that's one thing that you'll see on Freedom's Phoenix is that we, you know, religion is just, it is not a role in us understanding what's, I mean, it may be motivation for some people and it has flavor on a lot of things, but I really avoid it as much as, I mean, just simply because I just don't care.
Good man. No, you should. There has been more harm done through the ages in the name of religion than most people can even imagine. I mean, religion is used for some of the most horrifically horrible things that go on. A quick comment on Zionism, and I'll come back another time. We can talk more about it. It's an extremely destructive ideology. It believes in violence, Ernie. There is absolutely no connection between anti-Semitism and Zionism. Anybody who believes in Zionism is anti what they should believe in. Zionism needs to be exposed for what it is, condemned, and no good Jew, no Jew who calls him or herself a good Jew, if he or she understands Zionism, can possibly believe in it. They should condemn it because it needs to be condemned.
Well, what is it? What are they doing? Wow, man, bad cracking on this end. What is it that they're advocating? It's kind of like they're drumming up the Muslim thing, you know, all death to infidels? I mean,
No. It needs an enemy, just like we need an enemy. We create an enemy. Terrorism. Israel created an enemy. Zionism came to a fork in the road. There were those who believed in nonviolence, and there were those who believed in violence way back early in the last century. And the people who believe in violence won, including David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel. They had to create a bad guy to scare people. So we, the Israeli government and our military, we will protect you. So the Arabs were the designated bad guys, the terrorists. Muslims, the designated bad guys, the terrorists, and good Jews will take care of you. So we're surrounded by hordes of these dangerous people. We need to do all the things that we've done, including go to war and attacking these people, because we're not aggressors. We're doing it in our self-defense.
Well, let me ask you a question. You look at the American issue of immigration. You know, do you see a philosophy that's akin, that they're kind of married in there somewhere to where, you know, we don't want them changing our culture. We want to dominate politically on whatever. We'll do whatever we can to keep these people from influence and whatever. I mean, it seems a lot of the same. They're trying to insulate themselves from the Arabs in the Arabic area.
Oh, well, it's all phony. I mean, people come in, they get acculturated, everybody blends in. My God, I mean, we have people living in the U.S. that come from all over the place. They're all Americans. You get to the second generation, they're all Americans. Well, Israel is worried about Israel. There's too much to talk about, and we're out of time. But Israel wants to be a Jewish state, a Jewish apartheid separatist state. I mean, what kind of a country calls itself a Jewish state, and non-Jews, including Christians, have no rights? No rights. You can't own land. The laws don't protect you. Literally no rights.
You know, I tell you the one thing, Stephen, you know, as we go out, my comment on that is I wish that I was allowed not to care. It's them. You know, if Sally Struthers gets on and says Palestinians need clean drinking water and please, you know, make your monthly pen pal to whatever, I'm all over it, you know. But using this force... You know, that's the difference. We'll have Stephen back.